want to be confused. Yeah, you want it to be distinct, but you don't want it to be a horrible distinct. Like, I don't want to be singing like, we are ashy. You know, like, they're like, what is going on?
Take a moment to breathe, grab a beverage or two. We got professional guests with lots of stories for you. So take a seat right here and join us on Careers Over Beers.
Welcome to Careers Over Beers podcast. I'm your host, Jesse Krause. Thank you for tuning in. I really appreciate it. You guys are awesome. Today, I have somebody on that's in the music industry, and he's also a Kansas native. So tell the world who you are, sir.
All right, y'all. My name is Cody Howell. I'm from Parsons, Kansas. I did about 7 years in the military. And then I used my GI Bill to get back into the music business. So I went up to Nashville and used that up there at Belmont University for music business to get me kind of rolling. And so I've been just meeting everybody I could meet, you know, seeing what I could see. And I got myself started. So we'll see how that goes.
You did. Yeah, you're out there, man. You're promoting yourself. Today, you did a news interview this morning, right?
Yeah.
Over Good, at, day, Kansas.
Good Day, Kansas. Yeah.
Those people are cool, man. They came on the show
Avery's
one time.
Avery's awesome, too, yeah.
Oh, Avery, well, yeah.
Avery's the guy now that's doing it.
Okay.
But he's been the one, because I've done it twice now with him, and he's been a super nice fellow each time.
Yeah. I interviewed the former host of Good Day Kansas, Jillian Carroll. She's up in Kansas City now, but she used to do it before the new girl that's doing it.
Dude. I'm going to Kansas City tomorrow to do one. I wonder if she's up there.
Are you on like a promo tour right now?
No, it's Wichita. Then tomorrow it's Kansas City, and then I go back to Parsons to do a show at a buddy's shop.
Yeah,
I'm just doing like an hour and a half show, and then I get to rest on Sunday, and then Monday on my way back to Nashville I go to KOAM in Pittsburgh for I think that's Channel 7 or something, but I go over there to do one more.
Do another interview.
Yeah,
man, so. All over the place.
Yeah.
Well, cool, man. We're drinking some Busch lattes today. Can't go wrong with them. And I'm drinking an NA because I'm doing a little health bout right now. So
that's what I need to do, man.
Before somebody calls me out in the comments.
I think that's what all of us need to do, to be honest.
Yeah, you know, I've never really gone a full month, so...
How far are you from doing a full month?
I'm on like day 24 right now.
Okay, so you've got
close.
There.
I'm almost.
You can't quit. Yeah,
it hasn't been fun. That's for sure.
Even as much as fun as I make it look, man, you better not.
Yeah, I don't know. It better be worth it, or else I'm never doing it again.
Hell yeah.
It's pretty boring, especially when I'm doing stuff like this. You know.
Yeah, you want to crack a cold one.
You do. You do.
So does that? Then does the NA? It still tastes like beer.
Well, let's give it a shot. Cheers, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, tastes like beer. I mean, I wouldn't know any difference. If you just gave it to me and it didn't say NA on it, I would have no idea.
I wonder if these things can do some placebo to somebody.
Dude, they play a little trick on your mind, I'm telling you. So I had Jeff Krause, my cousin, on last week, and he's sober now too, so we drank some NAs. And I'm telling you, after two or three of these things, your mind tells you that you're drinking.
Dang.
And, I mean, you don't feel hammered or anything.
If you
had
like a drunk uncle... I wonder if you could
just
hit
keep
up
feeding
Bush
them some NAs.
And say, Bush, send me a freaking case. Give me like two cases of NA beer, but in the normal package.
The normal
and let me feed that to my uncle. Then he might stop beating me. No, I'm joking.
He might fake it. He might stop touching me.
Gosh, dang, yeah.
No, he'd be faking it.
Yeah.
He'd still be doing it. Yep. There was always those people back in the day, you know, in high school and stuff that... You wonder, like, are they actually drunk? Or are they faking it?
They just
be fun experiment.
To get funny and loose. But I do feel like if you're more loose and you start drinking, you'll get drunker faster. But if you're more serious, it's kind of harder to get drunker. I think that's
there's
a
definitely
thing.
Something there. Like the mindset that you're in can definitely change the trajectory of your drunkenness. You know?
Yeah.
And the mind is powerful.
If I toss a I've noticed this. If I toss a Chaw Daddy in here,
yeah,
at the beginning of me drinking, it'll take longer for me to get drunk. And if I throw a chew in kind of in the middle, it kind of sobers me back up.
Really?
But if I drink like four and then throw a chew berry in my mouth, then all of a sudden I get real drunk real fast.
Is that right?
So you got to do it kind of at the beginning, you know?
So there's a strategy to this.
Yeah, I always that's all I know about that.
I always like throwing them in after I'm hammered.
Yeah, then you just go whoom, to the stars.
You know, it's crazy. I'm not really addicted to tobacco. I never have been, but when I'm drinking, I really do crave tobacco or nicotine.
I think I chew more when I'm drinking. But I didn't start chewing until I got in the Navy. Then, because especially while you're overseas, especially while you're on a ship, there's no alcohol. Mm. So a lot of people just chew and drink coffee.
So you did a sober bout there, didn't you?
Yeah, for like
on the Navy ship.
Yeah,
I hear other things happen on those ships too.
Lucky they got girls on there now.
But, oh, that's true.
Yeah. Gosh dang, you already went there. You already went there. You dirty bastard.
I'm sorry. I'm Air Force. So you mentioned the Navy. Okay, so you said you used that to pay for your path to music. So let's go back to the beginning of this. When did you decide that you wanted to be a musician?
So I was like 16, my dad was teaching my two older brothers to play guitar, but I was too young. It was actually kind of started before I was like 13. And he was teaching my two older brothers to play guitar, but they didn't really want to learn. I really wanted to learn. But I was too young to learn, so I'd kind of dabble with it after kind of watching them, and then finally a guy came over and he accidentally left his guitar at our house, so I kind of just snatched it and started playing it a bunch, and I went to this thing online called freeandeasyguitar.com, but I don't even think it's a thing anymore. Mm-hmm. And there's like 12 lessons there, and just learned guitar that way. And then started getting into it. But I did like song leading in church and stuff like that. So then whenever I was 18, I went to the Parsons LeBette Community High School or College and got an associate's degree in audio engineering. And so that was cool. And I had a little Red Dirt band there. But my mom was always really patriotic. So, like, I was like, oh, I don't want to move to Nashville yet. I still want to go serve my country. Uh-huh. So I started into the Navy without even knowing that you could get free college. Until I was, like, already signing up and everything. He's like, oh, the blah, blah, GI, or the college plan. I was like, what? You get free college? I was like, okay, cool.
Why the Navy?
Okay, because I was from Kansas, and I wanted to see the ocean, and I was like, well, you know, I probably see hot girls at the ocean, so that's where they seem to gather, so.
Yeah, they do.
I was like, I want to see something other than just this flat plains of Kansas, you know?
Yeah, so you're from Parsons.
Yeah.
Okay. And how far away is that from Wichita?
I think it was 2 hours and 12 minutes is what I drove here.
Damn, that's specific.
Yeah, because whenever I was driving to Wichita, I like put it in and seen the number. I just drove up here today, so I remember.
Okay.
If you were to ask me that tomorrow, I'd have already forgot.
But, it was like, man, this guy knows his shit.
No. I just did it like just earlier this morning, so.
I gotcha.
That's what I knew.
So when you were a teenager, then you knew that you wanted to be a country music singer?
Yeah, I don't know. So I kind of grew up listening to like 30s country and then hymnals.
Yeah.
So I was still a little bit not knowing exactly what I wanted to do, but music kind of just dug itself into my bones and somehow.
You felt it. You felt your calling.
I was like, you know, like you get that feeling. You're like, what else can be better than this?
Yeah.
Nothing can be better than
this. That's a good feeling.
And it just got a hold of me while I was young, so it's just in there. So, yeah, whenever I went to the Navy for 7 years, I was only going to do the five because I got MC and you had to sign for one more year. So I was only going to do the five, and then I was going to be like, well, I'll go officer after that or I'll get back to music. And I ended up getting a really cool billet on my second one, so I went ahead and did that. And then there was a master chief that kind of knew I was doing music, and he was kind of telling me like, no bro, you got to get out, you need to go do music. So I knew I wanted to do it. He helped push me to end up getting that, so I was like, okay, I'm gonna get out, I'm gonna go try it. And then I was like, well, I at least got the GI Bill to get me down there.
Yeah, you know, 7 years in too.
Yeah,
that's getting to the point where you almost want to just make a career out of it, right?
Yeah. And it was at the time where they said if you go 10 years you could get like half retirement, but I was like,
Were they really?
Yeah, there's a whole new thing where like you could go like 10 years and get like some sort of other type of retirement versus doing the 20
Oh, dang.
Years.
I didn't know that.
It was a new thing whenever I was just getting out. So I don't know what it's like, if it's still the same now, or I'm sure it probably is. It was something new that passed.
Huh. So you get out and now you're ready to go. You're ready to pursue music full time.
And then fucking COVID hits.
So
downtown Nashville was all closed.
So this was in 2020?
Yeah. 2020. It's 2024 now. Yep. Mm-hmm. I'm on my last semester of college. So downtown was closed, but south of Nashville is Franklin. And that whole county was still kind of like open halfway, but kind of open. But some people were still wearing masks. But it was like, you didn't necessarily have to, but, you know, a lot of people did. But there was a bar open there, and I went down there and played a bunch. It's called Kimbrough's Pick and Parlor. It's an awesome bar. If anybody ever gets a chance to go to Nashville, you got to go down to Franklin to Kimbrough's Pick and Parlor.
Those were all the maskless people?
No, there's a bunch of masked people when they were on. Yeah, but, you know, some of them wouldn't be, but it was just like, it was more like
you were getting
people
judged.
Respected. No, it wasn't like that. It was like one of the spots where you didn't get judged.
Okay.
Because even the people with masks knew that they were already walking out there and there was going to be some people without masks.
Gotcha.
So it was just like, well, you know what you're getting yourself into, so that's that.
That's a rough time to start your music career.
Yeah, man. And I just played. It's a cool bar. It's like a house, but people play on the front porch. They play in the back room. They play on the main stage. They play out on the back patio. So there's like all sorts of rumors of music going on, and it was easy and rough because I couldn't get the whole Nashville experience, but. It was an easy spot to just go play at because you could just join in wherever you wanted to.
Yeah. How did you start getting gigs there?
Being there and hanging out.
Just being there and hanging out?
Yeah, because I was meeting probably like 30 people to 40 people every night, just new people that come in and come out. I was meeting everybody I could meet.
What was your game plan when you first got to Nashville?
Meet everybody.
So did you buy a house or did you rent
place? I rented a place because I couldn't even. That was a whole problem in itself, because a lot of the rental properties were like closed down. Like, and I was like, I was coming to visit for like 3 days to check it out, and I wanted to go look at apartments. And in Ashland City, there was one that was open where you could walk in and they would still show you the apartment. A lot of the other apartments were like, no, it's by appointment. You're going to walk in here in like 3 or 4 days. And then I'm like, I'm not going to be here in 3 or 4 days. No, this is the way we're going to do it. So I was like, well, okay, I'm not renting there. So there's a spot in Ashland City that was like, yeah, guys, come on in. And so I got to go in there. And then I was just like, screw it, we're taking this one. Because I had to get down there. And so I didn't care where I was going. I didn't care what. I could have landed in the hood. It didn't matter to me, man, you know?
Is there a hood in Nashville?
There is, yeah.
Is it a country hood?
Nah. I mean, but they're good people. They're good people. I've hung out with some of the people there, and they've all been nice to me. So, or maybe I'm just a good person and they just decide to be nice. I don't know. But, you know, like if you're a bad person walking in there, maybe they'll be bad back to you. I don't know. But I'm not normally a bad person. So, they was good to me anyhow, you know.
Good to know.
But.
All right. So you just wanted to meet everybody then and start getting gigs. Was that your whole goal, just to find as many gigs as possible? Or did you want to find a record label?
It wasn't necessarily finding gigs. It was just trying to meet as many people. So it's kind of like, all right, if you go to a bar and you're trying to pick up a girl, all right, you could give your number to the hottest girl there. Okay, your chances are slim that she's going to hit you back up. But if you give your number to the 10 hottest girls there, now you got better chances that one of them is going to.
Simple math.
So that's what I was doing whenever I went there. I was just meeting as many people and putting out as many strings as I could to see which one hit. And so it was cool. One of them ended up hitting. I got linked up with Kent Wells, Dolly Parton's producer. And he's like, okay, I kind of like what you're rocking on, man. And I was like, cool, man. I like that you like what I'm rocking on. And so he started producing me. And then, You want me to keep carrying down this conversation?
Sure.
And then, so this is kind of the cool part. So Dolly Parton was, he's the same, he produces Dolly Parton. She was working on a rock star album. And I had just done the Any Way You Go background vocals. That song's out as well right now, Any Way You Go, Cody Al. Find it on all the platforms. Yeah. Okay.
We can play it if you want.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let me finish telling this.
Yeah, go ahead.
So right after we did the background vocals on that, it was like 2 days later, his guy Kent, Kent's guy Kyle, hit me up. Hey man, we need some background vocals on some of Dolly's songs. Do you want to come in? I was like, yes.
Speaking of hot girls, by the way. Dolly still looks pretty good.
Yeah.
70 years old. 77 or something, right?
Yeah, I think she's 77.
Yeah.
We got to meet her. I didn't get to be in the studio with her. It was like we was recording after, but after we did the listening party, we all got to meet her.
Did you give her your number?
No, I didn't give her my number. I was like, I was just like, a hug was good enough for me, hey, man.
You'd hit it.
I can't say that, dude. No, I'm married. No.
If you weren't married, if you were a young single man in Nashville.
In another life. No, but she was really cool. There's been times I've been damn frustrated with her because I've been going into the studio and Kent calls me like it's like an hour before I'm supposed to go in and record the song. He's like, hey man, sorry. Dolly's coming in. Like,
oh, shit.
Like, so then there, you know, and I, you know, she just,
she takes precedence.
Yeah, definitely, man. I was like, she's a freaking, what's like above legend icon, you know, like she's all that.
She's definitely a country music icon. Definitely. Like,
probably even a freaking, what do they call it? American icon or what do they call it? I forget what that term is that they say. It's like so important to America.
American Idol.
No. He's even laughing. That is not what they call it. But anyhow, yeah, I could give you a verse and chorus too if you want of Any Way You Go, whatever you want. I brought the guitar. I didn't know what we was getting
into.
Sure,
man. Yeah, well, why not? I can play it on my phone over the speakers.
Oh, yeah, whichever.
Or you can play it on your guitar if you want to.
Yeah, or we can chug a beer real quick, and then we could take a break, and then you just boom play the song, and then we come, sure. And then we're like, and we're back, back to the podcast, y'all. No, it don't matter.
No, let's do it. All right, we're gonna play a clip of the song here. I'm just gonna throw a clip in, right? 30 seconds. Is there a music
30
video?
30 seconds. There is a music video. No, it's a lyric video, and okay. it gets more crazy towards the end. This is my first one doing. So I've already learned better ways to do it, but it's still kind of funny. My name's still on it, you know.
Is it okay if I throw that video on the
podcast?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're gonna play it right now.
You could go in your hair, lonesome dress. Either way, you're a gorgeous gal to me. But anywhere you go, we're all going to the same old place. To a bonfire Friday night, throwing down our tailgates. Anywhere you go, it's all gonna be the same.
All right, I hope you guys enjoyed that. We're right back at it. Crazy, right?
Yeah, I know. They don't even know that we just chugged like 3 beers.
We did,
and you saying you was going to drink the
I'm starting to feel the NAs.
Ones. He just chugged like 2 of the real alcoholic ones.
I know.
Off camera. He's lying. No. Wait,
8 more and I'll be at a full beer's worth of alcohol. Yeah.
Oh, man. That kind of worked though. You know?
Yeah. Surely.
And in the song, where it's like, because it's like, you can go with the cords or the bush, the mallet or the white claw, Jack or the gym, just to get your blood flowing. See, if I would have thought of
Bush.
The non-alcoholic ones, I should have tossed that in there.
No, nobody wants to make a song about NA beers.
It would just be a tiny exciting. Little line.
You know? It's not exciting. People that drink NA beers aren't jamming out together in a car somewhere.
What if it's a pregnant girl drinking NA beer trying to still party? Would that be okay or would that not be okay?
You know, it's one of those things where you're music- slamming down NA beers at a bar and you're clearly pregnant.
I don't think
it might not
I
be the best look.
It wouldn't look right.
Right?
Yeah. It definitely. Because, and how loud is the music, too? Does that, I mean, are you blowing the baby's ears out before he's even.
Maybe you're turning the baby into a country music art fan.
That could be, too.
You know?
You know?
I'm not going to judge.
I don't know. I don't know what would be proper. I know that a lot of the crowd would not look highly on that. I would bet, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyhow.
So you somehow got hooked up with Dolly Parton's producer. That's pretty good luck there, I would say, right?
Well, so we can call it luck, but we can also call it spreading out chances. The same way I said with the so you're upping your chances of luck, if that makes sense.
Right. It's like throwing all your chips on different numbers on roulette instead of just black or red.
Yeah, obviously if you put a freaking chip on every single number, one of them's going to hit. So
got it.
Then is that called luck at that point? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because you probably
people kind of make their own luck sometimes, but, though, you know?
Yeah.
You got to put yourself out there still. You're not going to win the lottery if you never buy a ticket.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It's a combination
of
things.
Yeah. Nashville, I wouldn't call Nashville necessarily the lottery. Because you can, because it's so crazy. It's still a little bit of a family. Like, not family, but like everybody knows everybody somehow. And so, like, if you're doing something that's cool, some people will end up linking you up to whoever.
Yeah. It's so all about it's, who you know.
It still works like that. And you can be a brand newcomer into town. And if you got dang good music, man, some people is going to say, wait, let me link you up with old son. Or let me link you up with old gal.
Yeah.
And then you just, but there's a lot of sharks up there in that town, too. It'll be like, oh, yeah.
Seems like such a weird world. Kind of like Hollywood or something, you know, and we don't really know as outsiders what it's like anymore. We know what it was used to be like in the old days, right? But it's like one of those things, what is it now? It's morphed into something crazy, and everybody that's trying to be a country star is going to Nashville, right? That's,
yeah.
You pretty much have to, isn't that?
It's either Nashville or up to Texas, but, and that's what was my thoughts, because I was like, I'm definitely more of a Texas / Red Dirt kind of artist, but I was like, no, we need to spread this into Nashville a little bit. We need to retake a little bit more of our country back.
Yeah.
Musically.
What would you consider your style?
I would just call it red dirt country, but I mean, it's country. Anyway you go, that song's a bit Texas country. Midwestern Pearl. That's a cool song.
Yeah, I listened to that one, too. That one was really good.
Thanks, man.
Yeah.
That one's like, so I was just trying to make a name for, like, you got Southern Belle, you got Yellow Rose of Texas. I was like, but Midwestern girls get passed up all the time. So I was like, nah, we need to, I mean, I'm from the Midwest, even though we're down in Kansas, we like to, sometimes some people in the Midwest don't even want to include us in the Midwest. I'm like, fuck you, motherfucker. But I was like, no, I need to do some, like, I need to represent the Midwest, and hopefully I do it right and correct. But I was like, we definitely have missed on that, you know, because, like, how long have we gone without giving the Midwestern girls a name, you know?
True.
I shouldn't be the first one coming up with, you know.
Yeah.
But I was like, okay, well, I'm going to write a song and, like, try to just plant a little seed in there and say, hey, this is what it is. We got some Midwestern pearls up in here.
Give the Midwest some love.
You know?
We got some pretty ladies here.
Uh-huh.
Especially in these small towns. Mm-hmm. Were you writing these songs before you went to Nashville, or did you write them while you were there?
I've written a few while I was there. I've written a lot more. I've probably written like 300 songs. So a lot more was before Nashville. I've probably written like 20 or 30 since I've been in Nashville. But a lot, Midwestern Pearl I wrote in Nashville. Saddle Up I wrote in Nashville. Hang Ups, Heartaches, and Hangovers. These are other songs that's going to come out on the album. Midwestern Pearl is out now. Hang-ups, heartaches, and hangovers. That's a song that's going to come out April 26th, like a week before the rest of the album comes out.
Okay.
So we're just going to pop that out and then...
So is this your debut album?
Yes, sir.
Debut album, yeah. With a record label? Like, are you signed to a label?
It's a different type of thing. So I got funding, and it going through a management company, they're doing my distribution. So they're acting as the label, but it's not technically, it's kind of like a mix of a label deal, but I still got control.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. So it works in my favor pretty good.
They're just kind of managing, distributing everything around.
Burning Ground Entertainment. And so Okay. That's the same. Anna works along with them, and so she's the one that got me linked up in here, and she's the one that set up all the TV interviews for me to do. And
gotcha.
I'm just gonna say real quick, it's refreshing to be back in Kansas, man.
Oh yeah?
Yeah. I'm loving it.
You know, everybody that I meet from out of Kansas loves the people here, and they say how friendly it is, how nice everybody is compared to other cities. I don't know if that's something you've experienced or not. I'm sure Nashville's very friendly though, you know.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's also parts of Nashville's friendly part, and anybody from Nashville will say this to you. There's a lot of like cliques in Nashville, which that kind of sucks. Yeah, that's kind of weird. That's kind of odd. That it's different. I don't want to like even give that any time because that just needs to end. But you come over here. Right now I live like an hour outside of Nashville, so I didn't want to live inside the town, man. That drive me a little nuts. So finally I bought a house over there in Lyles.
Okay.
So after I rented for 3 years, then I was able to buy a house over in Lyles. It's like southwest of Nashville, like about an hour, or not an hour, about like 2 miles from Johnny Cash's.
Yeah.
Where he lived. Anyhow, that's kind of cool, but...
Johnny Cash. Speaking of that, who's your biggest inspiration?
Yeah, okay, cool. Yeah, you got to stop me from rambling because I'll just start rambling.
Rambling's fine on a podcast, yeah. Man.
And then someone starts getting on.
Or when you bring up somebody like Dolly Parton or Johnny Cash, you know,
yeah.
Some of the biggest names ever. I got to ask, like, who's your inspiration personally?
I would say I got like three that I like, and I don't know which one. So these are the ones I think I get inspired from right now. Ray Wiley Hubbard.
I don't know that.
Texas country guy. Zane Williams.
Mm-hmm.
You know Zane Williams?
I think so.
Okay, he just started with the Wilder Blue, and they're about to open up for Luke Combs.
Yeah, I listen to some of these like smaller Red Dirt playlists on Spotify, and sometimes I see these names pop up on there.
Yeah. I'm just going to go with those two.
Those two?
I will say Dierks Bentley.
What about like growing up when you were young?
No, see, whenever I was growing up and I was young, like under 13, I told you it was like 30s music. It was like so long, it's been good to know you. Or it's like
Hank Sr.
No, it's before that, man. Like, I don't know, and I might be getting my dates wrong, but there was no seniors. It was pretty much a tape that was called The Tumbling Tumbleweeds, but it wasn't just The Tumbling Tumbleweeds on the... Tumbling Tumbleweeds was banned. It wasn't just The Tumbling Tumbleweeds on the tape, and it was a double-sided tape, so there were like 24 songs about... We could listen to that, or we could listen to hymnals. So even like the freaking Tumbling Tumbleweeds... I'll just toss you another one. They're, like, this is one of the freaking dang songs, dude. It's crazy. It's like... It's hilarious. It's about a mule train clippity clopping over mountain range. Seems just how it'll never stop. Clippity clop, clippity 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 clopping along.
I can't say I've ever heard that.
Four runner. Yes. Get along, mule.
I don't know if I've ever heard that.
Some of it's so freaking like ridiculous, but it's just funny.
So you weren't listening to popular country music artists when you were young?
Not till I was like 16 to 17, whenever I got to, because I was homeschooled, so I got to work. I was doing my school on the side, and then I started working full-time construction.
Uh-huh.
And then we got to hear more of the radio, and so that was kind of cool.
So who then were you into back then?
It was like Jason Aldean, Dierks Bentley a lot, and then who else was freaking playing?
Toby like Keith.
Toby Keith.
Rest
I think
in peace.
Steel Magnolias. And they might have even been later. Yeah, there was just cool music.
Logan Mize.
I love Logan Mize.
I do too.
But
man.
I didn't find Logan Mize till later.
That's our local guy. You know, he lives right here.
I've heard he went from Wichita, but I didn't know that. He's actually from
Clearwater, but he's in Andale now.
Hell yeah!
So
he sings that one song about Kansas. I don't know Kansas.
He has a lot about Kansas. Yeah. I think most of them are about Kansas.
I like Logan Mize. He just released a new song called American something. It was like last Friday, dude. It was I saw it on the Spotify's new Friday artist. And thanks to Spotify.
His last album, Welcome to Prairieville, was fantastic.
Thanks to Spotify too, they put two of my songs
American
on their
Dream
Music Friday. Yeah, American Dream. That's what he did. Yeah,
I'm glad you're a fan of him because I was afraid you might say you were gonna make a diss track on him or something.
No, I love Logan Mize. And then I like that he did he made a new thing, the Mizes, once he got married.
Yeah,
and like that's gonna be some cool stuff. I know they're gonna do like I think the first stuff they did, I liked it, but I know they got better in them.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just
his wife is a great singer.
I'm waiting
too.
For that one, you know, because I'm like that one. It's like, boom, there you are.
Yeah,
you know, yeah. That'd be really cool.
Yeah, I'd like to have him on here one of these days if he ever gets the time.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, hell yeah, dude. And, why not?
If I ever meet him, I'll tell him he's got you got a spot, a podcast over there.
Right here, local. Yeah. So, you obviously have stuff on Spotify now too. I'm sure you're on every platform almost, right?
Yeah.
Apple and Spotify.
Yeah.
I know you're on YouTube.
Mm-hmm. Spotify, iTunes, or whatever it's called. Yeah, Apple.
How has that all been working out for you? Do you have a lot of monthly listeners? Do you have one platform that's better for you?
Yeah.
Are you selling physical copies still?
No physical copies.
No physicals?
It goes from so that was what I was thanking Spotify for, first of all. Because they put two of my songs on their New Music Friday. And then it's like, I had like 12,000 monthly followers.
Mm-hmm.
But just for like a week.
Oh, yeah?
And then,
so they kind of promoted your shit for you on their front page?
Yeah, because that's a huge playlist. So like, you got to think of playlists almost like radios.
Yeah.
So like, but Spotify New Friday playlists, they only go till the next Friday. So you're only on that playlist for that week.
Gotcha.
But there's other really hot playlists. And they're kind of like equivalent to radio stations, except the money ways work different. Cause, yeah, one's like a mechanic. Anyhow, but you could just think of it that way for a minute if you want to. So then it makes sense. So you want to get on some good playlists. I went to the country radio seminar too. So I got myself now on some radios in like Arizona, and then one over in like Chicago that's gonna do, and then we're sending them to some other ones. But I want to get some more freaking Midwest stations.
Yeah,
whether they're the big ones or whether they're small ones, whatever. I just want I don't know if I'm worthy, you know.
You know, you should hit up is JJ Hayes. He's our local. Mm-hmm. He does KFDI 101.3 here in Wichita. Very popular. He actually has been on my podcast before too.
He's
the radio personality and DJ, and you should hit him up. I'm sure he would promote you and talk about you, maybe play a song around when your album drops.
I can give him a call after this.
Yeah, shout out to JJ Hayes. I love that guy.
Yeah, JJ Hayes. And say, hey, man, can you play Midwestern Pearl?
He's a great dude.
The thing is, too, though, it's hard because because Midwestern Pearl is like a 4.5 minute song, and a lot of radios, they want like to stick in that 3 minute area or 3 minute 30 second or type area. But you get to a lot of the smaller towns or the more free radio stations, because a lot of the bigger charting ones, they have to run off like their ads, and so they have to like, they're like, everything's a lot more stringent.
Oh,
we don't have to do as much as that over in these areas. So
Well, the world is so much different now with technology when it comes to streaming and uploading things to different platforms. And, you know, speaking of that, do you think that it's easier now as an up-and-coming artist, or was it easier back in the day? I mean, obviously you didn't experience it back in the day 20, 30 years ago, but do you think in your mind it's easier now because you have so many different options, so many ways to share media?
I don't know if I would... I don't know if my brain could compare the two. On easier, man, that's crazy.
At least starting out, you know.
I don't know if I can answer that question properly.
Yeah, that's no worries. I just always wonder about that because it is such a different world.
Yeah, and I mean, now there's even more billions of people, man.
Like 30 years ago, let's say it was 94.
You're almost playing the lottery just by trying to do country music in the first place.
Oh, really?
I mean, because you go to, have you been to Nashville? Everybody's
I've been there on vacation.
Like, there's so many damn good people there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I'm not the best singer. By far, I got more of a distinct voice than a lot of other people, so I'm winning on that. Okay, cool, but that could be a good thing and a bad thing.
Sure,
if that distinct voice doesn't sound good, you know.
I think it should be distinct, though. You don't want to sound.
You want it to be distinct, but you don't want it to be a horrible distinct. Like, I don't want to be singing like "We Are Ashy." They're like, what is going on? I like, okay, it's distinct, but it's not as good sounding distinct. Uh-huh. You know. So you're just taking a chance on yourself, I guess, whenever it comes to that. But there's just so many dang good players and singers and, like, I mean, even the people that is just playing guitar,
mm-hmm.
like, and they're like, oh, I'm a guitar player. And then you hear them sing, you're like, shit, man, what the fuck? I didn't know you was able to do all that. And they're, like, singing a freaking awesome-ass song, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, man, it's like, so... It seems like a little bit like you're almost playing the lottery, just betting on yourself a little bit.
Yeah.
And then it's up to you to... That's why there's a lot of people that go to Nashville and then they, you know, they come back because they already see that. And a lot of people go to Nashville and see other people way better than them. And then they
get discouraged.
Yeah, because they're like, I was good in my small town. And then I come over here and I'm like, wait a second. You know? But
better doesn't always mean, like, better... on the guitar, better singing voice doesn't always equate to better artist.
Correct. Right?
There's a lot of factors that go into that. A lot of different streams coming into that river to make somebody an artist as a whole.
Because you want to be a friendly person, you know. You want to at least be able to sing, you know, a good song.
Yes.
I mean,
you want to have lyrics that resonate with people.
But there's some people that can sing that don't have lyrics, but there's plenty of writers in Nashville. But
have you heard that "Parked Out by the Lake" song?
If you write your own songs, yeah. Have you heard that? "Parked Out by the Lake"
and 80 miles from Santa Fe.
And 80 miles from Santa Fe.
Parked out by the lake. Just over and over. It's but it sounds like such a legit country song.
Yeah. "Parked Out by the Lake."
Man, you should do a cover of that. Santa Fe.
I forgot about that. That was like. Yeah,
just the same words over and over.
It's
and
like
over,
three
but it
sentences
legit.
That they just move around.
Yeah,
and then they act like it's a chorus, then they act like it's a verse, and then they.
But you know what's funny is I've played that song at parties and stuff before, and a lot of people don't even realize
they're just listening.
You know
to
what I'm saying?
In the background, like, yeah, we're just going. Yeah,
this guy's good. Parked out by the lake.
This is that DJ that does a podcast. Oh yeah, he's really good.
So yeah, you gotta have good lyrics. I think that's important. You gotta be able to compose a good song. You gotta be friendly, like you said. You gotta know the right people. That's a big one. That's kind of how it is in every other industry out there, though, right? They always tell you it's who you know. It's not about how hard you work, how hard you grind. It's more about who you know than anything.
I can't see. It's hard to speak because, like, everybody makes. There's so many different paths to make it, mm-hmm. and like some people's paths are the same, but most people's paths are not the same. And so, like, And like a lot of times whenever someone does make it, then they're like, oh, well, he just came out of nowhere. It's like, no, dude, that motherfucker's been playing for the last 10 years. You guys just, he's been working on that, you know? Like, yeah. Or I mean, like Chris Stapleton, for example, how many years has he been playing? 30? Maybe 40 years?
I don't know.
He's playing before he blew up.
Chris, you know? Stapleton? How old is he?
He's, well, maybe 30 years. how old is Chris
Stapleton? I don't know. There's no way he's like 50, right?
Well, how many Bears has he been in? I know the guy that linked him
45?
Up.
45? Wow, I didn't know that.
45. So I bet he's been playing since he was 15.
Yeah, you're probably right.
So I'm going to guess that he's played for 30 years.
That guy's got a voice, right?
Yeah.
Such a unique
voice. And he
had
it with the Steel Drivers and all the other bands he's in, but they just didn't, you know. That's why I feel about Zane Williams. So hopefully Zane Williams, since he made a new band with called the Wilder Blue, mm-hmm. and then now they're going to open up for Luke Combs this year. Hopefully,
no shit.
Hopefully, it'll pull him up. And I already know Zane Williams. And I told Zane Williams, I'm like, I'm going to open for you one day. And like, after he knows,
bring him to Wichita.
I try to. I need to come here and
tell
play.
Luke Combs that too.
I'm gonna try to do. If any bars here in Wichita will listen to this, in May I'm gonna start to do a Midwest tour. So
yes, sir.
Get a hold of me at CodyHowCountry.com or.
I tell you what, maybe we can get you hooked up at the Keg up here, which is our local bar here in Colwich.
Yeah, hell yeah!
They have a big dance hall and stage in there. Yes. They do live music sometimes.
Yeah.
I'll let them know about it. Maybe they'll hit you up.
Yeah. And any VFWs too.
Yeah?
Yeah. I just joined the VFW in Dixon, so now I'm starting to become a VFW guy.
Is that right?
Yeah. I know. I did never expect that I would be that guy. But I went in there and talked to them, and they were like, no, it's not just for Vietnam guys anymore.
Yeah.
We need some young guys in here.
You don't see those things very often anymore.
Well, I was talking to my wife about it, and I was like, I think I'm going to go be a member of the VFW up here. And she's like, I was like, so that means, you know what that means? I'm gonna walk back out, and I'm going to have one of those hats on with all the tags on the side.
All the patches on it?
The patches and the little buttons.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to have a cane. You got to have a cane. and she's like, stop it.
Lieutenant Diane.
You know, well, no, respect to all those old sons, man. They did some cool stuff.
I know, man. They're getting pretty old now, too.
But they want some other younger blood, I guess, in there to help run some stuff now. So I was like, all right, I'll do my best.
Hell yeah, dude. So what's it like playing in front of people? When did you start doing that in Nashville, or did you do that beforehand?
See, I never had a problem, I think, playing in front of people, because I don't even recognize they're there. Like, my brain, whenever I start to singing or go into whatever, everything else just zones out.
And yeah. Then
in my brain, I'm seeing the story of the song. That's how I'm selective about which songs I sing. Someone will be like, hey, can you sing a song? I'm like, I could sing that song, but it's not going to be as good as the way I sing the other songs, because, like, whenever I sit there and practice a song 1,000 times, I make up a whole story in my head that I go to every time, and it plays through. Like, I'm seeing a whole screen in my imagination playing.
Mm.
But if you want me to play a new one or a cover... And some covers I can see the imagination in, as long as I believe it. If you just want me to play a cover, now I just feel like I'm singing. And I can make it sound good, but it ain't going to be like a performance. Like, it ain't going to be like you're going to believe me. But it'll sound good. But that's another thing, too. There's some people that just come into Nashville and just sing, and they don't actually go there. So it's a little hard to believe them when they're singing.
What do you mean? They just sing covers?
Well, not even singing covers, but just singing. Like, there's a different... You can tell when someone's actually there in their brain, and they're singing it and speaking it like they're talking like it's happening
like
right now.
Like they're feeling it. Yeah, they're into
it. It's like
it.
It's happening right now in their in their soul. And then there's some people that just are singing the words.
Okay.
And once you see, I probably shouldn't have even said that, because I'm going to... There's going to be somebody that listens to this that now just ruined music for them or something, because then they're going to notice and be like, oh, man,
That person doesn't believe what they're singing.
Yeah, and then you can just tell that they're just singing. And it's like, okay, cool. That you're, that's why I don't even want to call myself a singer, because it's easy to sing, but it's different whenever you are like there in your brain. So I never had a problem playing in front of people. There's been a few times I've been nervous, I guess, but it's normally been whenever someone like right 5 minutes before I'm going on says, "Hey man, are you nervous?" And I'm like, I wasn't nervous, man? Till you just said that.
And you start thinking about it and you're like, oh shit.
It's like, I wasn't nervous at all till you just said that, man. What? Get the, why are you even here, man? Get out of here.
So it doesn't freak you out much, but before, right before you get on stage, seeing all those people out there?
No. Yeah,
that's good.
It's so fun.
That's kind of a requirement to be a country music artist.
I just get lost in it. It's so cool, man, because like, it's fun playing in front of a big crowd, and then it's fun playing in front of a small crowd too, because there's been times I played in front of a small crowd and then like someone just starts bawling because somehow I played it. And that's when you know you're in the moment. Yeah. When you're playing from your soul, then that's when you know,
make somebody cry.
Now
like,
someone
holy
is,
shit.
You know, that's like the coolest feeling. That's cooler than, I'd rather play in front of two people and somebody start getting in their feels.
Yeah.
And like, because then I'm like, dang, dude, like that's cool. Because that's what music did to me.
Yeah, and that's got to be a great feeling. That's because you're expressing yourself through your music, basically. And when that resonates with somebody else, it's like hitting the mark, you know? That's when everything clicks. I could see that. Definitely.
It's crazy. And like, same with writing. So, like, I'm learning how to write with other people better. But, like, a lot of times I feel like, you know, and obviously this is just me in my own head, so I don't know if it's true or not. To my head, it's true, but I don't know if it's actually true in the world, you know?
Yeah.
But if I go into my own head, you know, and I'm just writing by myself, I can at least start a really good concept and build the imaginations all in my head, like all the visuals in my head I can build, and then I start to structure the story.
Do you write the music first and then add lyrics, or are you doing it all at once, or do you have an idea for the lyrics first?
It's different every time.
Different every time?
Because sometimes I pick up a different instrument or just, you know, I play with acoustic guitar a lot of times, but if I pick up electric guitar and then just mess with the settings, then all of a sudden I'm hearing a different sound, and I just start from that. And I don't even have a necessarily guitar lick. I'm just playing like two notes or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then I might start writing something, or there's sometimes, especially when you're driving, then all of a sudden you just start coming up with some lines and you don't have a guitar or anything because you're driving, so you just start to try to keep going over it to remember it. I guess to be proper, you would pull over to write it down, but
of course, course you're gonna pull over into the shoulder and pull out your phone and write it down there, before you get back in traffic. That's the legal, proper way to do it.
Gotta be
Cody Howe.
Or you, I guess, chunk it up on a voice memo or something. That's still probably not legal because you're not supposed to have
hands free. Yeah. Go into car mode. Hands free car mode.
And
right?
Say car. I'm
cars. They'll all be self driving soon, anyways. You'll be able to record music all day when you're commuting.
That would be cool. Teslas are getting less expensive, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
Those, you can just get hammered, do a gig, come out with a drink in your hand, hop in, and let it take you to the next place.
Dude, do you think what would happen? I think you'd still get a DUI if you got pulled over with still drinking with the
driver. Definitely, you would definitely still get a DUI now.
Yeah, that wouldn't be.
But at some point.
But there's some spots. Wait, though. There's some places still that the passengers can still drink.
Yeah, Missouri.
So what if you started it and started driving, then you switch over to passenger seat?
Like, I don't know where the driver went. He must have bailed.
And then you start drinking over there, then would you be legal? I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe that's something you should test out.
That should be. No. I'm not trying to get in any more trouble, man.
Just be chilling there in the passenger seat, and I don't know where the driver went, sir. I guess he bailed. I'm hammered. I don't know.
let's sue Elon.
Yeah, that's a good question.
It's all Elon's fault.
Yeah. Missouri, you can do that. You can have an open container as a passenger in the car.
Yeah.
I don't think you can do it if you're driving, though.
No. The driver's allowed, but that puts more on the driver, because if you get pulled over and all the passengers have open containers, they're definitely going to ask you to get out of the car.
Yeah.
Or truck. And yeah. Then they're going to say, hey, come back here. They're going to check, you know, obviously kind of just smell your breath without acting like the smell in your breath. And then they're going to determine there if they want to, if you do smell like alcohol, then they're going to be like, all right, we're going to do this.
That's when you pull out your bush and a can.
Right, say, there, hey, sir. Man, I've just been drinking this all night.
Yeah, I just like the taste. See, no booze in this.
Now we just gave a damn new trick out. I don't know if that's been introduced to the world.
Have you seen the Heineken commercials?
Uh-uh.
Heineken has a new 0.0 alcohol beer, and their commercial is a guy driving in his car drinking the Heineken, and he puts it in his cup holder, gets pulled over. It's pretty cool. Still sketchy.
Yeah. Because wouldn't your breath still smell probably like beer then?
I would assume so, yeah.
Then you say,
but you can never smell it on yourself.
Nah, it was just a non-alcoholic. It was just a non-alcoholic, man. I'm telling you.
Cody Howell charged with DUI.
From non-alcoholic beer. Yeah. I learned it on a podcast, man.
Yeah, that Jesse Krause guy said it's cool. He talked to Trooper Ben about it.
Yeah. Is Trooper Ben a guy around here?
Yeah, he came on here. He's a state trooper. He's really big on Twitter.
Oh, right
X,
on.
X, whatever you want to call it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
see, and did you see how... I think we might be getting off subject, but did you see how Instagram did threads?
Yeah.
It's like, I'm like, so they're like trying to take over the ex Twitter or something.
Cause, oh, they're trying to compete.
Yeah. It's like,
they don't like Elon.
Oh, man. I wish they wouldn't compete. I didn't like when Facebook and Insta did like reels, because I do like TikTok. I don't care what anybody says. And now, like, other people are like, oh, you got to put on reels over here. I'm like, why do they got a freaking... Now you're making a whole damn... you're making it all super complex, and I'd spend my whole day in the management companies on me most of the times, like, you got to post videos on all this stuff, and I'm like, dude, that's going to take my whole freaking day up, and I don't want to live
dude,
on...
Dude, I know. Trust me. I feel your pain.
I don't want to live on a freaking social media, man, but I guess all the labels and stuff want you to freaking get your numbers up.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I just like the freaking...
It's a whole job in itself.
Yeah, and then they're like, what? Yeah, man.
It's like, you know, I enjoy doing podcasts. This is what I like to do, is what I'm doing right now. Now, all this other shit that comes with it, you know, posting it on Reels, creating shorts, creating a thumbnail, like, that's all the stuff. I can't stand doing that stuff.
Yeah, because do you still go through, like the whole podcast, the whole hour podcast, and then like take little segments? Do you go through that, or does another person?
Yeah, I'll go through that and find little segments and post them as shorts, and funny. It's just so time consuming.
It takes all your damn time.
It takes all my time, and that's like a whole other job that I didn't sign up for when I did this.
Yeah, because
I guess
behind anything that's pretty fun, you always have the stuff that you just got to go through.
Yeah, right. Sucks. All the promotion now, but like you said, there's so many different platforms, and you have to worry about each one and word things right on each one and hashtag right on each one.
You got to like sit there and think for a minute and be like, okay, wait, which hashtag should I put on this?
Yeah.
We need to get a hashtag nerd.
They're out there. You need to find you one.
Yeah. I love nerds. I mean, a nerd crashed. Sorry. I'm just saying the term, I guess, right now. But no, dude. This is why I say nerd, because whenever we were doing R&D in the military, like, they would make a lot of stuff that wasn't actually plausible, usable. Like, they would make something that was perfect in the freaking laboratory or whatever.
What are you talking about?
I can't really say what I'm talking about, I guess.
Okay.
But you're
talking about like a product or something?
Yeah, just like different experimental type stuff.
Okay.
And then we would bring it out and test it, and like one little piece of sand would mess the whole thing up.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, we can't have it. You gotta make it. And they're like, well, technically, blah blah blah. And I'm like, bro, then don't make it. You gotta make something else, because it's gotta work. you know, like it's going to get dirty. It's going to get, you know, and that's too. Yeah, I don't want to go into that. Let's just go somewhere else. Yeah. I don't want to get.
You don't want to dirty up a project with a little speck of dust. That's what you're saying, basically.
No, but we'll go with that.
Okay.
That sounded smart somehow. I don't even.
I'm just saying shit, man. I don't know.
Yeah, that sounds like it should be a line in a song or something.
Well, maybe.
Well, dirty up.
You know what? I'll let you use that one.
I'll let you know if I use it, and I'll give you a songwriting credit.
So your goal, obviously, is to sell out arenas, I'm assuming, sell millions of records. How famous do you plan on getting? How famous do you want to get?
So, like, there's some people that want to go be the rock star. That's not my goal. If the rock star comes from it, cool. But I want to do the music that works. The music that I could be 10 years dead and then it works. I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't care if I see that it works or not. I want to write the. I want to write the song. I want to write the moment. I want to, you know what I'm saying? I want to write the thing that's not been written about.
You just want to put your art form out there.
Yeah, and I search for the things that ain't been written about. Or the freaking feeling or, because it's not always a, like, for example, Midwestern Pearl, mm-hmm. right? It's not been written about.
Right.
There's not, how the hell did we been this long and no one's freaking put a term on the Midwestern girls? How the hell did that happen? And how the hell was my stupid brain to fucking see that?
Well, now somebody did, you know? And,
but it's just because I'm searching for the things that haven't been, the gaps, I guess, or the things that haven't been written about.
Yeah.
Or and it's not always terms. It's also feelings.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, like how many times does old son go out and just by his lonesome in his truck and sit at the lake,
yeah.
or even sit on his property? Just he doesn't want to sit in the house, so he just drives his truck to the other end of his property and
goes
sits
and
in
checks
there
on the fields
and listen to music. Yeah, and yeah. just sits out there, you know, like, and then goes through all the emotions in his head. So like, what is some of those emotions? And then. Let's check in on some of those and write a song about that because all the songs don't cover that exact emotion.
Yeah.
So some of those I've tried to check in on with like Saddle Up and Hang Ups, Heartaches and Hangovers. I've tried to, and I, you know, I'm doing my best. I'm gonna miss some, you know, but like I've gone through them. So I'm trying to, you know.
So, you know, obviously there's certain subjects that country music is known for. It's stereotypical country music subjects like trains, trucks, beer.
Yeah.
Right?
You set me down, I could write like, you give me an hour, I could probably write at least 10 of those songs.
Yeah.
They're easy to write.
Yeah. And so do you ever feel pressured anyway to stick to those subjects or do you mind just going out on your own or are those just things that you like singing about? Do you feel like that there's a certain tone and subject matter that you need to make it in Nashville, I guess is what I'm asking.
Well, I don't live off that though. I don't live off, oh, am I going to make it in Nashville? Like that's not a thought in my head. Like my thought in my head is I believe in my songs that I wrote.
Okay. So you don't even think about.
And so I'm going to put those out and whether it works or doesn't work.
Yeah.
I know it works for certain people. Because that's who I'm writing to.
Yes.
And I'm going to let that determine if I become a rock star. I'm not going to sit there and in my brain just be like, ooh, I want to be a rock star. So I'm going to post all this stuff on Instagram. I'm going to post all this stuff everywhere.
Right.
And then try to write the songs that are hits. No, I'm not going to do that. That's not
me. So you don't, it doesn't even cross your mind about sticking to certain subject matter for the genre?
No, because it's the same thing. Because I found my brain doing that one time while I was in the Navy, and I was going for the promotion instead of going for learning my job better.
Yeah.
And there's a lot, 90% of people are going for the promotion, and I was like, okay, I need to go. But then I saw myself slacking on my job because I was doing more stuff to try to get the
promotion. You're setting your sights on the wrong target.
And I was like, and then I couldn't sleep that night because I was like, I felt like there was an integrity problem in my soul or something.
Mm-hmm.
And it wouldn't let me sleep.
Yeah.
And I was like, no. And given I'm not the perfect integral person at all times, but you know,
none of us are.
But there's a lot of times where just it's saying no, bro. You can't do that. Like you know, that's not what.
Well, it goes back to like you said.
When you can't sleep, then you know you got to switch something up. And I did that before in the Navy, trying to go for the promotion instead of learning my job better. And then I just said, nope, I'm not going to go for the promotion. If promotion comes, the promotion will come. I'm going to learn this job. I'm going to learn this job good. And then we'll see what happens. That's the same mindset I go into music. I'm gonna just try to do what I do the best way I can do it. And if that comes, cool. If not, it don't matter to me.
That's the way to do it, man.
Because I like my peace, and that's more valuable to me than like, you know, a lot of people's existence. I'll be honest.
Yeah.
You know, my peace is more valuable to me than a lot of people's existence.
Yeah.
And that's probably a selfish thing to say. I don't know if that's a selfish thing to say. I think that's an honest thing to say, though. I have to think about that later, but
no, it's like you said with singers versus artists, like people that are singing the lyrics and don't actually believe in what they're singing, their soul's not into it. It's kind of the same concept when you're writing songs. You know, you need to write things that you care about and like that resonate with you, or it'll shine through that it's bullshit.
Yeah, yeah, and you don't want to hear a freaking song that's bullshit.
Yeah,
and that unfortunately happens a lot in Nashville, I feel like.
Yeah, especially in a lot of modern country, I feel like it's definitely written to make a pop hit.
Yeah, it lost the realness of it, and so then it's not the truth anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that sucks.
What are some misconceptions that people have about country music artists, or just maybe a musician or an artist in general?
Oh yeah, okay. I could tell you this. It's crazy. This I learned this going in there, because I was like, so like moving to Nashville, I was like, okay, let's build something. And you know, a lot of people wanted to get behind what I was doing, but the musicians there, they have a whole different aspect. They have a whole different view than the artists do. As an artist, you're trying to build your whole thing up. As a musician, you're trying to get on whoever's building the best thing up. So musicians are bouncing around like a little,
like, which is like not, Hollywood whores.
Yeah, a little bit, you know, but given that's what they got to do in that, because, you know, so they're trying to figure out what's the best spot that's going to get them the most money, or get them, they're trying to make a damn living too, you know? Yeah. So, but it's just a whole different thing, because if you're the artist, you're trying to build like a entire freaking you know, company around you, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's hard sometimes when because you'll have a musician that's working with you for a while, and then he found something better. Oh damn, well, so now you just backtracked yourself while you were almost there or something, and then now you just backtracked yourself. Now you got to rebuild that back up, and then rebuild this other side back up, and then, oh damn, I lost this guy, and then I gotta rebuild it, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you're just like constant like rebuilding to try, and then you'll have some bad musicians that just wanna, they played with you once and then just wanna drive their way into your band, and you're like, no dude, like, but how do you be nice and
tell the guy, important who you surround yourself with, right?
Yeah,
it's so important.
It's
important who you get on board with stuff and partner with.
I got scolded by Dale Portman. Well, no, he's a great guy, but he gave me a little bit of a scolding, like, hey, you can't always just go play with, you know, anybody, anywhere, you know, like, because you never know who's walking in that door, and if you're just stupidly jamming and it doesn't sound good,
yeah,
and someone sees that and they're like, oh, well, that's Cody Howe, then, you know, that was their first impression of you.
Yep.
You know, so it's like, so he kind of scolded me on that a little bit and was like, you got to watch sometimes who you're playing with.
You want to make good impressions, especially in the beginning, you know, with everybody you meet.
So I had to learn. I probably already have learned that the hard way without knowing it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm pretty sure I've probably, you know, because you just start having a fun time and you don't really care how it sounds, and you're just, you know,
right,
playing with whoever, and then it's like, so I don't know. I think there's probably a balance there, but I haven't figured it out yet. That's all I know about that, though.
That's all I got to say about that. Hey, you mind if I get a hit of that grizzly?
Yes, sir, man. Do you need a A new chew?
I never really chew.
Oh, you got that in there. Hell yeah.
I don't chew very often, but, you know, I'm with a country artist, with a country guy, and we got some chew out here. I noticed you throw one in.
I'll put it on the podcast, too. So I had to call him right before because I was like 7 minutes. I was like, I'm going to get here at 53, and I was supposed to be here at 5. I was like, I'm going to get the ETA said I was going to get here at 4:53. So I called him before. I was like, hey, man, is there a gas station on the way? I really need to swing in, maybe get a chew. And he's like, yeah, there's one up by the corner. So I swung up there and got it. And then I still made it here by 57, I think. But
yeah. Jump start.
Yeah.
Man, a little grizzly buzz.
Yeah. See? You might have should have taken it before you drank two of the...
I'm not getting a buzz off booze today, so I got to get it off of tobacco.
There you go. Is that... would that be cheating? No, I don't think so.
No. Not for me. Not for me. Give me anything right now. If it's not booze, I'll take it.
That's it. So I don't eat candy that much. Like, I'm more of a salad with, like, meat in the salad. I'll eat steaks and mashed potatoes, but I really like salads with like meat and beans and all you know, cucumbers, everything in there.
Yeah.
But sometimes I just want some like
some grizzly.
I'm just straight up sugar candy, man.
Oh yeah.
Like so the other day, and I don't partake in sugar that much. Sweet tea here and there, but I used to whenever I was real young, and then for some reason I just don't have the taste for it now. But every now and again, I get like I just start getting a little hunger for some sugar, like just real sugar. I'm not talking about nothing else. Okay,
booger sugar.
This is not a metaphor, man. And so the other day we went to a Dollar General, and I hadn't been in a Dollar General in a long time, and you know they got like the dollar candies or something. I was like. Stephanie, let's walk down this aisle for a minute. And I got some like Warheads, the little sprees,
sour candies,
and I ate all of them. it was good.
Get your sugar high going.
Yeah, I just you know, devoured them, man. I was like, Stephanie, you better not be eating my candy. Because she got her own. Because after we got it, it was like 2 days before.
Yeah.
And Stephanie had already eaten hers. I was like, and I saw the wrapper. I was like, you didn't eat mine, did you? She said, no, I left yours alone. I was like, okay, good. But it'll probably be like another half a year before I get another sugar crave.
Yeah. This is kind of weird dipping on the podcast. Hope people don't get grossed out by me doing this.
I was hoping that people didn't get grossed out by me.
It's fitting though, right? It's,
you know,
fitting.
I think I just got to take one more chug right
you
here.
Better,
and then
yeah,
I'll
you better get you another fat chow burger in. Or what'd you call it earlier? A chewberry?
Chewberry or chaw daddy?
Chaw but daddy.
I like the chaw burger or
lip snack. Get you a good lip snack.
All right.
So is it a requirement to chew if you sing country music?
I don't think so, but...
It's fitting, though, right? It's fitting.
It's probably fitting, yeah.
It's very fitting. It's like a rock star with a bottle of Jack and some blow. You know?
Yeah. The rock star's got to have their blow.
Yeah.
Obviously. You know, I guess then the country guy's got to have their chew.
They do, yeah.
Let's line it out.
You know, they used to snort chew back in the day. They used to do snuff. Yeah, snuff back in the day used to be a powder. And it was popular in like the 20s and 30s, I think. Probably around the time your favorite country music artists were playing, the 30s. Yeah. And they would just dip their finger in it and do a little sniff of it.
Dang, dude.
It's pretty hardcore.
What was it all like ground up?
I think it was just ground up tobacco.
Whenever I was in a... So I did a 10.5-month deployment, and we went over to the Arabian Gulf, and we stopped in like Abu Dhabi and Dubai and stuff. And then we had this I can't remember what it's called. I can't remember the term. Man, my brain.
Sandbar. Sandbox.
Sandbox. You got it. So it's called the sandbox, and then you get to, because whenever they give us chew, like you'll have the see, and now I'm forgetting the other term. It's been so long. I purposely forgot half of it because I wanted to. Yeah, they do the they unload the cargo onto the ship, and then they'll be chewing and stuff. And dude, there's little dirty little snake motherfuckers, because they'll go and they'll be in front of the line and they don't even chew, and they'll buy like 3 logs of chew to try to sell to you for like $10 later.
Oh yeah,
or $20 later.
It's a good market strategy there.
Yeah, but screw those old son. I was like, no, if I don't buy it from him and I hold out, then they'll give it to me. I held out for like a month, and then he finally gave me the damn log that he had. But yeah, anyhow, but it runs out fast. And so whenever you go into this, your ports, and you get the sandbox, mm-hmm. then they got like, they got chew, but it's not, you don't get long cut. It's like the sand, the fine cut.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got the Arabic writing on it.
Yeah.
And we called it Durka Dip.
Durka Dip?
That's what we called it.
Hope that's not a racist term.
I don't think it is, but I don't know. But that's just what everybody called it. They called it Durka Dip.
Yeah.
And but you
know, feel like chew like this, like grizzly, is really only found in the States. Places that I've been, at least, the people are like amazed or they love it. Like I went to Dominican Republic one time, and some of my friends had some chew that they brought down with them, and those guys would ask for it all the time down there because they don't. I don't think it's a thing they can buy. Like a can of Grizzly or a can of Copenhagen, you know? But I know the baseball players down there, the baseball players down there, because most of our base, or a lot of baseball players come from Dominican, they chew something else. It's like a tar type stuff that they kind of like, you know, THC oil or like wax that they make in Colorado and stuff from weed.
I've seen that before.
Yeah, they render that down and they extract the THC. I think it's kind of similar. And they basically render down tobacco till it's like this tar stuff, and then you put it in your mouth.
That's crazy. I don't know. And they're probably like, it's probably a trick too. You said they're baseball players?
A lot of them are. I mean, a lot of good baseball players come out of Dominican.
They're probably putting it like that so then they can also lick their lips and get a little bit on their fingers when they throw that ball.
Oh, before the...
You know, that might be a trick. No, you know, whenever they they got the sticky stuff.
Yeah.
So that may be a trick that they use. I don't know. I could be just making up a new conspiracy theory. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't either. Well, anyways, let's get back to some country here real quick. What do you think the best and worst parts are about doing this and starting out as a new artist?
The worst parts are like the lows, because you'll have like you'll have some really good stuff go for like 1 or 2 months, and then nothing go for 2 months, and like you're sitting there trying to get something, and like it just feels like you're failing. Like every day seems like a failure for 2 months.
Are you talking about gigs? Or are you talking about
not
streams,
gigs,
or
just trying to get the next momentum thing rolling?
Okay.
And so like you can play gigs all, like in Nashville, you can play gigs your whole life, and you still ain't got no momentum.
Yeah.
You just get downtown Nashville famous or something, or you mm-hmm. get famous in one of the areas around. Okay, cool. You could do that all life, and they'll pay you enough money to keep you there. But
that's not where the real money is.
You ain't gonna get the momentum going though.
Yeah, like,
you ain't gonna really get the ball going. You gotta do more, just more other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you'll get like 2 months or something where just. You should be playing gigs or doing stuff, but just nothing is churning. Nothing, you know, especially because you just, you know, you'll have 2 months where stuff just goes really cool, and then you get a little high from that or something, from just stuff going so good, and then all of a sudden it's just nothing's going really good for. And so you just got to stick through it.
You got to grind it out.
That's what a lot of times, you know, people end up giving up or something, but grind those 2 months out, and then something picks back up again. For about 2 months or 3 months, and then it leaves you empty again for 3 months.
Yep.
And you're like, and it's just like, it's a roller coaster of emotions, man. But it's only in your head.
Yeah.
So it's like, other people will try to understand it and be like, oh yeah, man, just keep your head up, keep going. But like, they don't understand like all the different things, all the different strings you already got, and you know.
For sure.
And all this stuff. So that's the best times is whenever you got some really cool stuff rolling, and then that lasts for a little bit, and then you go down to the dip, and then you just try to dig your way out of it. and you don't even know how you're digging your way out of it. You don't even know if you can dig your way out of it.
Yeah.
But you just keep trying, and then finally something cool happens again. Then you're like, okay, there's a next step then.
Yeah. And then, so it's important just to keep grinding.
Yeah, because
it's like a game of cards. It's like playing blackjack. When the table gets cold, you got to lower your bet, grind it out, keep playing because it's going to get hot again. You're going to get some good cards. They're coming up.
That will make sense to all the people that play blackjack.
The people that win blackjack.
I don't play blackjack that much. I did.
Keep pulling out those hundreds. It's going to hit eventually, guys.
There is a blackjack app that you can start to like learn which ones to. I tried that for a little bit, but because we started going to some casinos, but then we stopped going to the casino, so I deleted the app and I didn't really learn it at all. But because there's like that, I guess you can have like a 51% win rate on blackjack.
Well, I think it always favors a house. It's always going to be less than 50.
But blackjack,
if you're doing it right, it's possible to increase the odds.
Supposedly, and I don't know, check me on this. Supposedly, blackjack is one of the ones where if you play every, if you know all the ways, which one, there's like a whole app that tells you which ones is the best odds on every hand you get. And if you play it correctly, then you have a 51% chance.
Oh, yeah.
Supposedly.
But then they'll kick you out if you play like
too long, and then they'll be like, hey, you can't play here.
You win
anymore.
Too much, and they're like, hey, get out of here, buddy. This table's for losers.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that's a good avenue into advice that you have for anybody out there that's maybe thinking about going into music, or, you know, they've been writing music for a while now and they want to get it out there to the world. What advice do you have?
Ooh, okay. There's a lot of different ways you could do that. Like, obviously there's publishing companies, but okay, so if you go with the publishing company, they're going to take the publishing. So that's half of your rights to the songwriting. So in a song, you have the publishing rights and the writer's rights. They're both 50% of the song. So now we're going to separate those. We're going to call this 100% of publishing rights and 100% of this writer's rights, even though they're 50% of whoever wrote the song. So if you go with the publisher, they're going to take 50% of, because they're going to go pitch your song and they're going to try to get a big star to sing it or something. That's still worth it, because at least you got a big star to sing it and you're making money. Mm-hmm. The other way, if you can't get a publishing company to sign you or pitch your songs, then you just, there's a lot of like NSAI. I don't know what that stands for. I did, but it's like a writing group. You can just join that, and then you can get in that community of writers and stuff. And that's a good way. I'd say that's a good way to go in there. And that's for, well, I think it's like, free or like $20 a year. It's pretty cheap. But you get to meet a bunch of other people that are writing, and then you can network your way in. It's hard to do it without networking. So like for an introvert fella, which is a lot of writers, pretty introverted, you just have to break out of that and just decide to do a little networking, even if you're doing it behind a freaking email screen and you're just emailing, Or you just try to, you know, meet your guys and then say, hey, can I send you a song? But the hard part about, you can't just go to artists and then say, hey, can I send you a song? Because normally the management company, they don't even want you to hear that song, because it results in a lot of lawsuits. If, oh, someone heard that, then, oh, boom, now another song comes out with the same truck line, you know, which they're freaking so many.
Yeah.
And then someone's suing them. Oh, he stole that line from me one time whenever I told him to him at a show. It's like, dude, stop. There's so many lines in a song. If you want it to happen, you got to go out there and grind. You got to go out there and you got to bring that song to fruition. You can't just expect to get lucky. Like, same with like some artists, they just expect a label to come knock at their door, and it's like, that don't happen anymore. Maybe back in the day, like he was talking about, you know, a label would go and knock at your door and say, hey, we want to sign you. But no, nowadays you got to grind.
Yeah, especially with the amount of people that are probably trying to do the same thing, you know?
Yeah, and there's a lot more people trying to do it than there was back in the day.
Yeah, yeah.
So maybe some parts are harder now, and then maybe some other parts were harder then.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't really living back then, so.
How old are you?
31.
31, okay.
But I missed a bunch of it. I'm still catching up. People still play a song that, like, everybody in the bar knows, and I'm like, oh, I've never heard this song before. I'm like, yeah. And then I start to do the, like, fake singing along, like, I was in this, you know, and they were, yeah, okay. And the, and, you know.
Yeah.
Well,
cool, man. I appreciate you telling us all that and giving us some insight into the lifestyle. Do you have any last word you want to say or anything you want to do?
Yeah, well, I just real quick say you could follow me on Cody Howe Country on all the Instagrams and Facebooks and everything, on all the social platforms. And then I got 3 songs out now. And then April 26th is when my next one will come out, and then I'll have the album out after that. And then I'm going to start touring. So hopefully
Hopefully we'll see you back around here on that tour.
Yeah. Hell yeah. If I come back around too, I'll hit you up, and then maybe we can do this again.
Yeah, hell yeah, dude.
That'd be cool.
And for everybody listening, it's all in my description. You can go find it on YouTube under the description. You can also go to my page or my link tree, and all of his stuff will be there as well. So go look. It's not hard to find. Google your name, Cody Howell, and maybe you can buy a sweet hat like he gave me.
Dude, and don't get me
CH.
Yeah. And don't get me confused. There's another Cody Howell out there that put songs out like 20 or 10 years ago.
Oh, you gotta make a diss track.
Called the Cody Howell Project.
You gotta make a diss track.
And I gotta find out who that guy is, cause some people go and they're like, this doesn't sound like you. And I'm like, no, that one's not me. Like, but anyhow, yeah, it's Cody Howell. I got 3 songs out. If any other Cody Howell got songs out, it's not mine. I do professional stuff.
Well,
I try
yeah.
to make it professional as best I can.
Yeah, but and you sound great, man. From what I've listened to and thanks, what I've man. Heard, it sounds great. I have faith in you, man. How many songs are on the new album?
There's just 7. So I was going to call it an EP, but they iTunes or Apple said the runtime was over the... so they're calling it an album. So I guess it's just a short album. But I just got long songs. Well, they're not long. They're like 4.5 minutes.
Yeah.
I see, that's another dang thing. I don't like 3-minute songs.
No?
But radio loves them.
What's your sweet spot?
I think like 4 minutes.
4 minutes?
That's what she said. No. 4.5 minutes is pretty cool because I feel like I can get the story out in 4.5 minutes. I feel like the story's rushed if it goes 3 minutes. But radio loves 3-minute songs. So yeah. You just got to write. You either, well, maybe that's, this is what someone else would tell me. You got to write better then. Like, all right, fuck you.
You got to outperform,
dude.
Man.
You know? But no, it's all fun. And a lot of people that follow me too, I still follow people back.
Yeah.
So like, you know, especially if they're trying to do music or get into music or anything like that. Like a lot of it, because a lot of people, I'll still kind of look through them. And then sometimes my management company looks through stuff too. So
yeah.
It's not always me, but a lot of times it's me. Anyways, man, you know.
Well, thanks for everything, Cody. I appreciate it, and I'm happy for you. I hope everything works out well, and go listen to the new album, folks. Go check out his music online. You can find it on Spotify, YouTube, Apple. Yeah. And that's it, brother.
Hold up.
Any final words?
Yeah. Just cause. I guess I gotta do this.
All right. What are we doing here? We're doing a shotgun? Oh, boy. I love to see it.
I guess because I'm guessing no one's... Well, I gotta get up in here in this mic, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm guessing that you probably haven't had this done on your podcast, so...
Well, I've done it on the podcast before.
Oh, wow, yeah. Damn, see if you was drinking. You want to do one with the non-alcoholic?
No, I'll pass on that one. I've done it a couple times, but maybe next time you're in town, I'll shotgun with you.
Okay, when you're drinking again.
Because I'm pretty freaking good. Not sure if I'm as good as you, but let's see. You want me to time this?
I'm a dipshit. I did this upside down. I'll still get it good, though.
Oh, okay.
Ready?
Yeah, let's do it. Go. Woo! 3.5 seconds.
Man, I've done two.
Dude, that's pretty impressive, though, for sitting down. It's kind of a weird environment to do one.
And I did it upside down. That was stupid of me.
That's good. That means, a great shotgun.
Hey, we can't... Let me say this. I'll say this because this is important. Because I don't know who all listens to your thing, but I do a lot of stupid stuff. And all the people that I know that have been successful, because I've been able to meet billionaires, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Like Jimmy John.
Oh, yeah?
I got a sandwich made by his hands one time.
From
that
Jimmy
was cool.
John.
Yes.
No
that,
shit.
The Jimmy John. He made a freaking sandwich.
Damn,
I
dude.
Ate. I was like, that's pretty cool.
Did it taste better?
Dude, it tasted amazing. And I there's probably some placebo effect in there.
Oh, I'm sure.
But it tasted like awesome. But anyhow, like... Billionaires, anybody who's been successful has also done a lot of stupid stuff too. So, the big thing is like, because a lot of people get upset whenever like people around them make them look stupid on something stupid. That just fucking do the stupid things. And
yeah,
if someone calls you out for being stupid, just say, yeah, do stupid things.
Yeah, just own it. It's better to own it than act like you don't do it.
Everybody does stupid stuff, man.
Oh, for sure. I've done my fair share. Believe me.
Yeah, just. Yeah, because otherwise, if you beat yourself up, you'll beat yourself up and you'll waste a week or 2 weeks of beating yourself up about it or feeling fucking funny, or you'll set it into your subconscious and then now you beat yourself up.
We're just living, anyhow, man. Yeah. L-I-V-I-N.
But that's important, dude. Like, that's, yeah. Yeah.
All right, bro. Well, thanks a lot. Thanks for doing
Appreciate
the show.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, man. Wish you the best with everything. I'll be tuning in for sure.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, dude. Thanks. Cheers.
Yeah, appreciate you for having me on there.
You only got a crush beer left, but cheers, sir.